Loving and gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for calling us here this morning to hear your word and to come to your table, and then to be sent out into a very broken world to bring a message of hope. Amen. Well, welcome to all of us who've chosen the road less traveled and are not on the 400 or the 401 or going anywhere on this Labor Day weekend. We have chosen to be walking this path with Peter today. And Peter is my all-time favorite and probably quite a few of yours. He is so Peter. He's so flawed. He's so excitable. He's so wrong sometimes and so right in others. And I have to say, he is us. Last week, we had Jesus saying to him, when he's asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And they say, "Elijah," and they say all sorts of proper things. And then he says right to Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus says, good one. You must have heard this through somewhere, somebody that's not a human being, and you are my rock. I will build my church on you. And it seems like about 11 seconds later, this morning, he has decided that he has to tell the disciples what's going to happen because they don't get it. And he says, "We're going to go up to Jerusalem. Really bad things are going to happen. There's going to be a lot of suffering. I'm going to be put up on a cross and die. And 3 days later, I'll return." And Peter cannot stand this. He decides to rebuke Jesus. I always love the rebuking word. "I'm going to rebuke Jesus." And he says, "No, Lord, that can't happen. That will not, we will not allow that to happen." And Jesus says directly to Peter, "Get thee behind me. You are a stumbling block to me. You've got your mind set on earthly things instead of divine things." That's Peter. He's a stumbling block that Jesus has to work through. God only has us, you know. Stumbling blocks, one and all. I will just speak for myself as a stumbling block. God has only us to work through to do what God wants to have happen here on earth. So this morning we're going to be celebrating our stumbling blockness together. And I looked up the word stumbling block. The beauty of the computer, you could spend the next 10 days just looking at the history of the word. Stumbling block, a circumstance that causes difficulty. Synonyms: obstacle, hurdle, barrier, bar, hindrance, impediment, handicap, disadvantage, snag, hitch, catch, difficulty, problem. That's what Jesus is saying Peter is and who we are. And yet, God chooses us and only us to build God's realm. And you have to be reminded that even as a stumbling block, we are loved by God, inspired by God, and never left by God. And so therefore, stumble as we may, we are doing God's work here on earth. So let's just retrace Peter a bit. Peter is one of the first two disciples chosen. Jesus is meandering down by the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, and all he says to them is, "Follow me, follow me." And they do. They drop their nets and follow him. Pretty amazing, I think. I remember the first time that passage in Peter really made sense to me. It was 25 years ago when I was in my car on a May afternoon driving down to the cathedral to be ordained. And as I am wont to do, I was having an out loud conversation with God in my car. And I said, God, I wish you'd just made my call a little more obvious. You know, a little more drop your nets and follow me kind of thing. And I would know a bit more whether I was in the right place. And I heard the Charlton Heston voice. That got, God doesn't speak like that to me all that often, but when God does, I'm listening. I'm driving my car down Church Street, and this voice said, you have already dropped your nets, so follow me. And I was sitting in my car going, oh, I guess I have already dropped my nets. I'd been teaching high school for 18 years at that point when I got a sabbatical leave to take a one-year year of leave of absence to study first-year divinity. And then, of course, I never went back. I did 3 years and somehow ended up in the ordination stream, and here I am. So I had already dropped my nets, and I guess I was following in some way, which was kind of dicey. I was, at the time, a single mother, divorced single mother, 25 years ago. Oh, you'll get a really good parish, Katie. You won't have to move anywhere or uproot your children. I never did have to, actually. That's God's huge sense of humor. But I remember clearly thinking of Peter and that, drop your nets and follow me. And then we see Peter stumbling along a little further along the way. Jesus has fed the 5,000 and has gone up into the hills to pray, and he's sent his disciples off across the sea. And he comes to see them in the morning in a storm, walking on the water. And only Peter would say, is that you, Lord? If it is, tell me to come and meet you. And Jesus says, come. And only Peter would get out of the boat. Okay, I'll just hop over the side of the boat here and walk towards Jesus. And he does that until he loses his nerve. And Jesus has to rescue him and bring him back into the boat. But that's who Peter is. Peter is so faithful and so sure of who Jesus is. Can you imagine what their relationship is? They've been together for 3 years on the road in different places, eating together. They've seen miracles. They've seen all sorts of things. And now he's predicting this really bad thing is going to happen. And now he's being called a stumbling block. And he doesn't get any better as the time goes on. You'll remember him at the Last Supper when Jesus predicts that Peter will, screw up again, three times actually, and deny him before coming to terms with it. And sure enough, Peter cannot even stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane for his best friend, Jesus. He keeps falling asleep, and Jesus says, not even 1 hour. You can't even make it for 1 hour while I'm going through this agony here. Nope, can't. And then when Jesus is arrested and taken into town, Peter, of course, follows along because he is a faithful, loving servant. And he tries to stay kind of anonymous in the crowd, but of course somebody notices him and says, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of his followers? And says, nope, not me, nope, not me. Three times he does that, which Jesus, of course, has predicted he's going to do. And Peter has denied that he's going to do that. Not me, Lord. I'll go wherever you go. I'm with you. And of course, he doesn't. And then he goes off and gnashes his teeth and cries. And then, even after that, when Jesus is put in the tomb and Peter is devastated and Mary goes out to the tomb early in the morning and comes back to report to the disciples that, in fact, Jesus is alive. And Peter and a friend run. Peter's always running, if you notice that. Running, jumping, doing odd things. Runs back to the tomb. The other disciple smartly stops and contemplates something, but not Peter. He runs right into the tomb, and comes back out and goes and tells everybody else. So you think it's going to be all good for Peter now, but of course it isn't. Peter cannot sit around and wait for what's going to happen next. Instead, he does, this is his best thing ever, I think. He says, I'm going fishing. I know how to fish. Fishing's good. Who wants to come fishing? And they all say, I do, I do, I do. So out they go to go fishing. Who knows what's going through their minds? Heartbreak. To put it mildly. Bereavement. Discouragement. What has this all been about? Who are we? Who was that guy? And on and on. So they go fishing and they don't catch anything, and Jesus, as we know, tells them to fish on the other side, and they do catch. By this time, Peter has jumped in the water and is heading towards shore. He can't seem to stay in one place. Have you noticed that about Peter? And the best invitation in all of the New Testament is Jesus saying, come and have breakfast. That's the best line, I think, in the whole of the New Testament. Come and have breakfast. And so they do. And Jesus is not finished with Peter at that point either. He then says to him very clearly three times, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. So he hasn't given up on Peter, even though Peter is kind of hopeless in a lot of ways. But here he is this morning calling him a stumbling block. A stumbling block. We have to stumble over you to get anywhere. And as I said at the beginning, you and I are stumbling blocks, or I am a stumbling block, and yet God is still working through us. So what do we stumbling blocks do to try and know what it is God is calling us to do? And my answer to that is prayer. The only way I ever know anything, is by being quiet, stopping my high extroverted self, and being quiet somewhere and listening up. And when I do that, life is different. It doesn't mean I'm a genius or a perfect disciple, but I at least am on some path that is of a bit more divine than human, which is what Jesus is talking about with Peter this morning. Trying to be prayerful and listen brings us onto God's path and not our own. And that's, I think, what most faithful followers have found, that when your prayer life is in good shape and your priorities are right and you're being quiet and listening up, good things happen, or you get an idea, or you get something happens that's positive. This reminds me of Thomas Merton, who's one of my absolute favorites and a genius of a guy. I mean, he writes brilliant stuff. And he's, I think, one of the most faith-filled people I know of. Long-life monk in Gethsemane down in Kentucky. And this is a book I just rediscovered, Dialogues with Silence. And it's, I mean, he writes wonderful things. But this one also has his pencil drawings and things in it, so you can see his humility. But here's my favorite of all Merton's prayers. This is Thomas Merton, who most of the world reveres now as being a very faithful disciple. Here's his prayer of humility and stumbling blockness. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will doesn't mean that I'm actually doing it. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may not know anything about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. That's Thomas Merton speaking. He's another faithful Peter. And I think at this Labor Day weekend, which is really the beginning of the new year, don't you think? You can make those resolves on January 1st that you're going to lose 40 pounds or pray every single day for the rest of your life. But the new year really, I think our Jewish friends have it right. The new year really is in September. They have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to atone. But I think here and everywhere, we are starting again in this parish at this time, and we are the stumbling blocks. We are the people that God is going to work through here at this particular corner. And so I think it's our line, it's our prayer that's going to get us to know what we should be doing. I have a little slogan up in my prayer room at home that says, call on God, but row away from the rocks. I think if Peter had just listened to that a few more times, I don't know, Call on God, but row away from the rocks is really good advice. It's co-creation at its best, I think. God needs us, we need God, and together we will do things that we can only possibly ask or imagine. We say that every single week. So I think if there's any message for us this morning from Peter's getting rebuked, it's that. Is that God is with us in whatever we do, and if we listen up, good things will happen. And our humanness is what God will work through to bring out the best in us to do whatever it is God wants us to do. So I leave that with you. Call on God, but row away from the rocks.